This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
At the very risky term of the blank train, right? The wide receiver train. You know, Jeremy's had the wide receiver train. I think he's maybe copyrighted that. I'm not really sure. And how all that's kind of gone down over the last, you know, few weeks and whatever. So with apologies to that, should I just start like the trade? I'm all aboard the trade train. Josh, is that what I could call it? I don't know if I want to do that because of the wide receiver train and kind of where that's gone. You know what I mean? The discussion. So to maybe get train out of it, what I did was I put a hashtag, said team trade it for number nine.
I think that's got a nice ring to it. It's funny. Like we've coined the big man barge as well. Like that was something I came up with instead of like to get away from train, but keep it in the vehicles. So I feel like maybe we could do something else with a vehicle with a trade, you know, like the trade truck or something like that.
The trade truck. Yeah, let's drive the trade truck, all right? We could do something like that. I put a hashtag up just a little while ago, said, I'm all aboard, hashtag team trade it with a number nine. I think the Sabres should try to trade pick number nine. Now, as many of you have already chimed in, and I really appreciate that, at Sal Sports, reading that. Thank you to, there's a couple names I can't say on the air with some of your handles, but someone said no one will trade for it. Lackluster draft. We have one here from Buffalo Sports 23. I don't think it's that easy to trade it. You need a team wanting or willing to want the pick, and the value isn't as good as people think it is. It won't get you anything amazing. I agree that it's probably not, this is not the greatest draft. Thank you, by the way. That's getting connected with our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. I agree. It's not like this amazing draft that is going to get you something amazing in return. I don't think you need something amazing in return for the number nine pick. What I think you need are NHL-ready players to contribute to this team getting to the playoffs. I'm not saying give it away for nothing for a couple of, you know, fourth liners. That's not what I'm saying. There are generally teams out there that are going through a transition in some capacity that have players that say, you know what? This guy's got 1 year left on his deal. And like, yeah, I would even risk that. That's fine. Year and a half, whatever. Maybe guy's going to last year of his contract. Give him a chance. Come to Buffalo and you have until, you know, the trade deadline to see if it works out. But at this point, I'm willing to do that, to be quite honest. Because as much as you all might say, this is not, I'll use that logic against you here, which is if you tell me that this is not a great draft, which I don't disagree with from everything I've read, then what are you getting at 9? You're getting kind of a crapshoot anyway. So why not go out and get a player that might be on an expiring contract or even just a younger player who has term left, who a team is saying, you know, we're going through a bit of a transition. We'll rather take that number 9 pick. Because I think you can generally find something like that. It doesn't have to be an amazing deal. I am on team trade it. I would like to see the Sabres trade their pick. I am tired of being a year away. I'm tired of having the youngest team in the league with a really good farm system. I'm tired of talking all the time. And we do it. I mean, I do it. I do it as much as anybody. I host a radio show here, right? I mean, our job is to tell you what is going on. And I'll tell you when I see, oh, the Sabres have a good farm system. Oh, the Sabres have good young talent. Oh, they have this guy that's going to come up. Oh, we're excited about watching this guy play because that's what we do. We have to do it. We have to live in the here and now and also kind of talk about it surrounding how it's going to look. But I'd rather be talking about how, oh, you know what? That was really great when they had this nice farm system, but now they're actually good at the NHL level. Like, isn't that the point? And that's what I want. I remember having Howard Eskin on years ago. He is the sideline reporter for the Philadelphia Eagles, a longtime radio personality host for many years, New York, Philadelphia. And I remember having him on one time, and he said, we were just talking Philly sports. And I said, what about, you know, the Flyers? And he goes, the Flyers are always 2 years away from being 2 years away. And that made me laugh, and I thought about it. And I said, yeah, I think we kind of say the same thing about the Sabres here. They're always a year away from being a year away, right? They were supposed to be the year this year, but a year away from really kind of, you know, being a team that you'd say, okay, now we're here. We're going to be in the playoffs. They're going to be, you know, building it up, but they got there. We're still not there yet. A year away from a year away. I don't want to be a year away anymore. So, yeah, I don't know what you can get. I really don't. Who knows? We still don't know what's going to happen with the front office, the GM. I know that there was a tweet today from our buddies Andrew Peters and Craig Revay, who host a podcast, who said that they have heard that Kevin Adams is being retained as general manager. I wouldn't doubt it. I don't know if that's the case for sure, but, you know, that's what they said. And, you know, I know that they've, you know, they talked to some people, and I'm sure that's what they've been told. But either way, we have not heard anything on that front, right? And like Paul Hamilton said yesterday, if they're going to retain Kevin Adams, they're not going to come out and say it. Like, there's no announcement about that. Hey, we're retaining. You could do that. I mean, you know, it's not beyond an organization. I can't remember specifically, but I know organizations have done that where they've kind of put out a statement and saying, you know what? We really believe we're in a good spot. We're disappointed in the results, but we're going to maintain the course and keep this person on. Like, you could do that. It probably would not go over very well with the fan base, but you don't have to say anything. And typically the way the Bills and Sabres operate, if there's no change, there's no announcement that there's no change. Why would you? That's kind of typically the way both organizations have operated, and most do. So the longer it goes, we don't hear anything about Kevin Adams' status, then I think that points more and more to him still being the general manager. Now, we did have a report this morning from Lance Lysowski, who covers the Sabres for the Buffalo News. He wrote, the Sabres will have a new head strength and conditioning coach. Ed Gannon was let go at the end of the season. So there are some moves being made, right? We know there are some moves being made. What that entails, who that is with, overall, what does it mean for Kevin Adams' future, his status? What does it mean for the Sabres' assistant coaches? I'm not sure, if anything. But if you start making those types of, well, announcements or sourced reporting coming out, then I think that it naturally leads to, okay, these things have started, these things have begun. And the longer you go and don't hear about a certain change, I think the more you can assume that change isn't happening. But we'll see. Remember when Bottrell was let go? I think that was a little bit later in the process, right? After the draft, I think it was. I think Paul and I went through it, the timeline. But you don't have to do it right now. It could happen at any point. But that's what it feels like, at least. 803-0550 is the number to call. Are you on Team Trade It? I'd like to get your pulse on this today. What do you think the Sabres should try to do with the number 9 pick between now and the draft, which is at the end of June? I mean, you really only have about 6 weeks here to digest this. What do you think the Sabres should do with the number 9 overall pick? Give me a call at 803-0550. I mean, they do have a really nice farm system right now, right? They're kind of stacked right there with some of the talent they have. The team overall is doing well. They are the first team through the first round into the second round. So I think as a team, as individuals, Devin Levi, Isak Rosin, all these guys that we've seen, Hellenius, they have guys in the system who can contribute. I don't think you need another one. Now, if the top, absolute, you knew the top defenseman coming out could be available at number 9, maybe that's a different discussion, because I think you have to figure that out, that part of it out. But I think right now, as I sit here, I'm looking and going, why do the Sabres need another young player to add to what they have? This is not a rebuilding team. They've been rebuilding for 10 years, right? This is not the situation. That might fit for some teams. It doesn't fit for this team. Look at all the RFAs they have. They have to make decisions on as they go forward. I mean, that in itself is kind of like a little bit of a, you know, maintaining your young players. Why do you want more? Make your argument if you do. I don't get it. And again, we're not talking about being at the top of the draft. And I mean, if this was a, you know, McDavid Eichel draft, I would not say this, what I'm about to say. But even if they had a top 5 pick in this draft, top 2 or 3, I'd probably say they should trade it. Because again, let's go back to what a lot of you even say. This is not a very good draft. Let's see, what do I got here? Couple defensemen. I'm looking at some of the top prospects here. Lots of centers here early on, it looks like. You got a left-handed D, a right-handed D. Well, you got a couple defensemen early on. It doesn't look like that really goes. Matthew Schaefer apparently is the top-rated maybe player overall, but defenseman. Islanders have the top overall pick. So, today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, Sal Capaccio with you. We are going to have Andrew Gross of Newsday. He covers the New York Islanders. He's also been a reporter for the Rangers and the Devils. We'll get his thoughts on everything dealing with the NHL playoffs, but especially the number one overall pick, the Islanders, where they are in their particular build, and the Rangers. I'm interested in his thoughts there because that was a very disappointing season for the Rangers. The Devils as well, where they are after losing in the first round of the Carolina Hurricanes. We'll get his thoughts on that. Last night, another New York team. Well, first of all, the New York team I root for. I only root for one New York-based, like New York City-based team. That's the Yankees. I don't really root for or care for the other ones. Jets, Giants, Knicks. I'm not a Knicks guy. But I kind of despise the Celtics so much that I'm rooting for the Knicks, I think, in this series. I'd like to see the Cavs come out of the East. Or the Pacers. Whoever wins the Pacers-Cavs series, I want them to win the East because I don't want the Celtics or Knicks. But, you know, Boston sports fans are so smug. I loved last night that they blew that lead and the Knicks came back and won. That was cool. Good. NBA playoffs are amazing. NHL playoffs are amazing. And how about the Leafs last night? Boy, we can get into that too, because I'll ask Andrew when he comes by if he watched that play last night with Sam Bennett. Apparently, there's no discipline from the league coming for Sam Bennett at the elbow to the goaltender. And he's out of the hospital now, apparently. He went to the hospital last night, and they're not going to be kind of pursuing that. It looks like, from what I read from Pierre LeBrun, like the Leafs kind of just want to, hey, we just want to move on. We want to continue in this series, not dwell on this. And that's a good attitude to have, even though he might be really upset about it, right? So we can talk about all that today. Speaking of Boston, speaking of the Celtics, and the Bruins, by the way, who have the number 7 overall pick, and the Patriots, who have had an interesting offseason. Going to get with Evan Lazar. We love Evan. Does a really good job covering the Patriots, but he's all into all Boston sports. We'll get with Evan Lazar coming up at 11 a.m. Andrew Gross of Newsday in New York at 10:30 a.m. And your phone calls here all throughout on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Let's get to John in Marilla, who starts us off. What's up, John?
How you doing, Sal?
Good, buddy.
Number nine pick in the draft. Anybody 6'2" and bigger, winger, not looking to play on our top six. And I'm not talking about a fighter. I'm just talking about a power winger who can give our smaller guys the ability to skate without worrying about getting their heads taken off every time they're out on the ice. I mean, if you you watch the Winnipeg...
You want them to... Let me ask you this. Are you saying you want them to draft one of these guys or trade for one of these guys?
Well, either one. Get rid of the ninth pick. If you can find one of those guys, great. But we've drafted, with our first-round pick, we've drafted these small, with the exception of Dylan Cousins, but he was, you know, a center, so-called. But we draft all these small scorers, okay? How many small scorers have come up through Rochester in the last 10 years to play on our team? If you look at our lineup, we have like 4 or 5 guys that have come up from Rochester. Everyone else has been traded, and we haven't developed anybody. Sam Benson has been up here for, 3 years? And, yes, I know he couldn't go back to juniors, but he should have been in juniors. He's been playing in the spot where Krebs should have been playing, because we stuck Krebs on the fourth line with a couple of guys who can't even skate, and we expect him to develop in the NHL playing on the fourth line. I mean, the front office moves that need to be made in the ability to rank talent amongst our own guys, because we haven't drafted anybody that is good and big that played for us in how long? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, no, I get it, John. I think the point you're making is you got to find guys. This is a good point I say about basketball. I think basketball is a great example for this, what John is saying. And if you allow me, John, to kind of rephrase what you're saying, I think, and what you're trying to say, which is, you know, you got guys playing roles they shouldn't be playing because you don't have the proper guys playing in other roles, right? And I always use basketball for an example. Like, if you don't really have a point guard, you're going to put your shooting guard at point guard. Well, now it impacts the best shooting guard you can have. So now you're actually deficient at 2 different spots, right? If you get a true point guard and you can move the guy you have playing point guard to his natural spot of shooting guard, now you're actually better. So one move can really enhance 2 spots on the floor. The same thing can be said in hockey, I think, in a lot of ways. And what John's trying to say, which I agree with. You put Krebs here or Zach Benson there. Maybe they're not necessarily suited, but you don't have a guy. So if you have the right person, now they go into their natural spot. I get it. If you want to draft that player you're talking about, I mean, this draft has some of those players, even where the Sabres, might be picking. Roger McQueen is a forward, 6'5", 192. All right? I mean, that's a guy maybe, he's not 200, but how about right winger, Porter Martone, I'm looking at, 6'3", 207. But these are guys that are going to drafted higher. I have no idea about these guys. I haven't watched them or studied them. Not like football, right? I'm just reading their vitals off from some of these mock drafts that I'm looking at. Thanks a lot for the call. Let's go to Mark in West Seneca. What's up, Mark?
Hey, Sal. How are you?
Good, buddy. Thank you.
Hockey's my life. I've loved hockey my whole life. Like so many people in Buffalo, this 14 years is so frustrating and so downtrodden. Yeah. I don't even like to watch the playoffs anymore because of what's been going on with the Sabres for so long.
Is it jealousy, Mark? Is that why you think it's because it's because for me that's what it is a lot of times.
It's not jealousy, Sal. For me, it's a reminder of the team that I love the most is so far away. It's depressing. It's absolutely. You watch these games and you go, oh my God! When you look at a Sabre game, it's like watching paint dry, as compared to what goes on, especially in the playoffs. But that all being said, the number 9 pick, the subject today, you're not going to get anything for that pick standalone. You're going to have to make a package deal, and I'm all for doing that, by the way. Yeah. You know, do whatever you got to do to move that pick. Bring in an established NHL player, whether he's young, whether he's 28, 29, even 30 years old. Bring in a guy. But my problem with the Sabres for 14 years has been I consider the Sabres as an organization a bunch of talent gatherers. And what I mean by that is they look for the guys that got the most talent in their eyes, bring them in, and let's see where we're going to put them in the lineup. Perfect example of that is Peyton Krebs. They brought Peyton in that trade for Eichel. And here we are how many years later, and you can argue they still don't have an idea where they really wanted to put him in the lineup. They started him at winger, then he was in a top six center role for a little bit, in and out of that spot, and now all of a sudden he's worked his way down to a fourth line where if you look at Peyton Krebs, you would never say on his talent level, that's where that guy belongs in an NHL team, ever. I mean, he needs to have a chance at least to be in the top nine at a center position. But how many years after getting Dahlin, are we still looking for the guy to put next to Dahlin to maximize his talent? So they go out and make the Byram trade and give him the benefit of the doubt and say, okay, they envision putting Byram next to him. But now we're fighting whether or not we're going to actually pay the kid and keep him there. Really? Are we really? Where was the subtle move last year where we brought in a veteran defenseman, a guy who's been in the league for 5, 6, 7, even 8 years, a steady defending defenseman that is a veteran that's got a lot of knowledge and knows what's going on to put next to Owen Power and give that kid somebody to rely on to when he comes off the ice to sit down next to who's going to get in his ear and say, hey, Owen, you don't do that or do this or whatever. Where is that guy? Okay? We still can't find number 5 and 6 defensemen that just play a role, that just get out there, be physical, defenders, penalty killers. We're still looking for those guys. You can go on and on and on with the moves they made. Okay, they moved on from Spencer at the top. Am I missing his name?
Who?
Skinner, I'm sorry.
They moved Skinner, on from Skinner, yeah, Skinner.
Don't tell me that their idea, when they let Skinner go, whatever his deficiencies were, his contract was a detriment. That's fine. What was your move? To bring in Zucker? He's typically a bottom six forward in the NHL, and you're going to put him on the top line? I mean,
okay, Mark, a lot there. I know. I know you've kind of gone through the roster. It's all good. What do you want to do with the pick? You want to trade it or you want to keep it?
Oh, what's the reason for keeping it?
Trade it for it with a package, right? No, and I agree with you on that. You're probably going to have to get a package. I agree with you. Thank you for that, Mark. Sorry, I got a couple other calls I got to get to. Mark wants to go down the roster, and that's all right. He's passionate about it. I get it. That's the second time today we've had a caller talk about Peyton Krebs and him getting more of a chance. I don't know. Peyton Krebs, I think he's fine in the role he's been in. I don't know. I don't need to have him have a more huge role. There's times where he has spurts of like 10 games. You're like, man, he's really playing well. I don't think he's a bad player. I don't need Peyton Krebs to be, getting a lot more minutes, to be quite honest with you. But either way, that's fine. I mean, I think it just goes to show you the first few calls in we've had today are a lot of kind of, that pointing this way, pointing that way. What do you do? Pointing up, pointing down, and where do you go? Right? And that's kind of what's been created here over the last several years. Let's go to Jay on a cell. Hi, Jay.
Hey, Sal, real quick. First of all, you can't let the Sabres draft with that pick. They every single good player we have on this team has been traded for. Thompson, Tuck, outside of Dahlin, which was the number one overall pick, we really didn't draft anybody. Devin, acquired in a trade from Florida. The problem is we're not hitting on the draft choices, and I'll use this example, and maybe I'm off base. Brandon Bean and the Bills can draft people, evaluate them and move on from them immediately because he's making hits in the lower rounds. The Sabres aren't drafting anyone to fill in the voids, and they're so scared of evaluating talent and then moving off of them quickly. Peyton Krebs shouldn't even be on this roster. There are other players. J.J. Paterka is a third-line player on a good team, not a second-line player. Quinn is injured. Oh, yeah, the jury's still out. No, you can't have the jury still out. You've got to be able to evaluate the talent and move on from these guys and not keep year after year after year waiting for something to happen. Nothing's going to happen unless you make it happen. And I just think they have to do something drastic or it's the whole front office is inept.
Yeah. Thanks, Jay. I'm looking through their draft. I mean, I don't think Benson's a bad player. He might be miscast right now, and you have to still wait on that. I think Kulik could be someone who could wind up being pretty good, right? He looks pretty good so far, Jiří Kulik. I think a lot of this is Owen Power and what a lot of you feel about him and where he is or isn't right now in his development. Then you have Jack Quinn, who looked like he was on a great trajectory, and then, you know, he had the injury, and then obviously it hasn't been the same. J.J. Paterka's been a nice draft pick. That's a second-round pick. I get your overall thought, though, and why you're saying what you're saying. Believe me. And that's why I'm on Team Trade It. Let's go to Mark on a sell. Hi, Mark.
Hey, I don't know where that guy's coming from. I know he's frustrated, but he's wrong on J.J. Paterka and even Quinn. But anyway, the problem is we don't know where they need to go, okay? They tried, apparently had two trades made, right? It was reported Jack Eichel was traded for Matthew Tkachuk. Matthew Tkachuk said, no, I won't go to Buffalo. That trade's gone. We had the trade. Everyone fixed on Skinner. They were going to use the money. They had the money. They were going to trade for Martin Nikas. It was a done deal draft day. Martin Nikas said, guess what? I will not come and play for Buffalo. So their hands have been tied. How do they change that? That's the problem. And you're still living on Alex Tuch's a very good player. You've traded. You can name three players they got rid of, or at least two, and didn't get proper return. You can't trade Jack Eichel for Peyton Krebs. That's who that guy mentioned. Peyton Krebs is a good player. He's wrong on that. He doesn't belong in the NHL. But you can't trade Jack Eichel and not get four back, a player of Jack Eichel's caliber. They don't come along. Same as Sam Reinhart. You wouldn't give him a contract. He looked at you and told you, I'm out the door. That's what their problem is. Now their trouble is with goalie. So what you do is you trade that number 9 pick. You throw an Uke Pekalukin in, even though he may develop, and you ride Devin Levi. The way he's playing down there, I know when he's come up here he hasn't done it. That's the only chance you have. It's the only chance you have. You have to get a Ryan Miller-type player for a goaltender for you. Sal, I know I've been ranting, but I love the Sabres. things just haven't worked out. And today online...
No, it's great, Mark. It's great. No, thank you. I think you represent a lot of fans, man. You're passionate about the Sabres. We all are, right? It's just been... It sucks that it's been 14 years that we can kind of share that passion in such a positive way, right? And now... even me, I moved back to Buffalo in 2011. It's my fault, folks. I came back to Buffalo in 2011. It was like right after their last playoff appearance. I've never been able to sit here and talk on the radio on WGR in my 14 years back here almost now about the Sabres in the playoffs. And that stinks. But I think what the last 15 minutes has showed me, and I'm sitting here, man, you guys, you're calling up and you're so passionate and upset about where this organization is because you love your hockey so much. And I'm with you, man. We are a great hockey city. We are. We're a great, great hockey city. We just haven't had great hockey in this city. And we need it badly. And you're yearning for it so badly. And I get it. I am too. Good stuff to start the show today. We're going to go to Andrew Gross of Newsday. He covers the Islanders. Used to cover the Rangers, the Devils. We'll talk with him all about the Islanders getting the number one pick, the NHL draft lottery last night, and the playoffs after this timeout on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
The winner of the 2025 NHL Draft Lottery and the first overall selection in the 2025 Upper Deck NHL Draft belongs to the New York Islanders.
Well, the balls bounced the Islanders' way last night during the NHL Draft Lottery. Going to talk about that in a moment. Want to remind you first, though, you can join us in the fight against cancer by riding with Bulldog and WGR's Ride for Roswell team on Saturday, June 28th. Once you join our team, you're going to receive an email to pick up your team t-shirt and water bottle at Tom's Pro Bikes on Walden Avenue in Lancaster. And if you're not a rider, you can still support the cause. Just donate to our team and help us reach our goal of $10,000 before the ride. Visit WGR550.com for details. Joining me now on the West Her Hotline is Andrew Gross. Andrew covers the New York Islanders for Newsday. He also, he's covered the Rangers, the Devils, hockey guy all around. Andrew, it's Sal Capaccio here in Buffalo. Thanks for doing this again. I know we've had you on before. I really appreciate it.
Hey, Sal, it's good to talk to you. Thanks for having me. And yeah, it's an unexpectedly great day for the Islanders this morning.
Yeah, no doubt. So let's talk about that. The Islanders in their position, obviously you're hoping to get that ball fall your way. It finally does. Now they have a world of possibilities. Initial thoughts on what they'd be looking at in a draft that doesn't seem to have a clear-cut number one. Not, this is not a McDavid Eichel type of draft, but they obviously have their pick of anybody they want now.
Yeah, or John Tavares draft, right? Although,
right.
I guess you could say Victor Hedman was right there, too. And, you know, retrospect, maybe you debate it, but whatever. Look, if they're sort of two no-brainers, and they're kind of conflicting here. One is, if you look at the island...
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Islanders prospect depth, it's mainly forwards. You got Cal Ritchie in the Brock Nelson trade. You got Cole Yzerman, who, you know, everyone is around the Islanders is hoping turns into maybe 75-80% of the score Mike Bossy was with that offensive instinct, right? You got those two, you got Danny Nelson, so you're sort of set in the middle and at forward. And it's sort of a no-brainer because even though he only played 17 games for juniors this year, Matthew Schaefer is sitting right there, and he's pretty much atop everyone's draft board. And if you don't overthink this, you know, not only is he considered probably, you know, the number one pick, but there's a need, too. So those pieces fit together really nicely for the Islanders. It just... Take Matthew Schaefer and don't overthink this, right? But the other part is you got this kid from Long Island who grew up an Islander fan just sitting there, James Hagans, and you know maybe he's the third ranked, but you know for a team that you know the attendance is dropping off a little bit, They've missed the playoffs 2 out of 4 years. You got to engage the fan base. That is a marketing home run if you take the Long Island kid. So, you know, he doesn't exactly fit the need they have, but, man, what a story that would be. I mean, obviously he would then be, you know, the highest picked Long Islander ever. I mean, and he's probably going to be that anyway. Mike Komisarek went 7th in 2001. So you got those two there. But if you ask me, it's probably Schaefer for the Islanders.
Andrew, what happened to the Islanders the last couple of years? They have declined in their point total each of the last 2 years, and then they missed the playoffs this year.
Yeah, it's just a team aging out. I know, you know, you still got some, you know, 30-ish core members. You know, Matthew Barzal, he would kill me if I called him 30. You know, he's 27. but, you know, Barzy's no longer, you know, in the infancy of his NHL career. Bo Horvat's right around 30. Ilya Sorokin, you know, is turning 30. But then you just held on to the core. You know, Ryan Pulock and Adam Pellick are both at the 30 mark. And then Casey Cizikas, you know, was an older guy. It just was a team that, you know, stayed together too long and aged out and is just not fast enough for today's NHL. You got to get some younger legs into that lineup. Now, you know, they tried to re-sign Brock Nelson, who's 34. They tried to give him 3 years at $7.5 million, and he walked away from that, and they traded him to Colorado, which, you know, I think was a positive step for this franchise because you did get, you know, Cal Ritchie back, and everyone expects him to be a really good player. And he's got one NHL goal already in his handful of games, and that, of course, came against the Islanders. So, you know, maybe that colored the Islanders' view of him. But it's just a team that, you know, had its day, and that was probably in, you know, 2020 and 2021.
So are you saying, putting that all together, where are they in their build? Is this a rebuild mode, or is this a, okay, we have a chance here in the trajectory, we need to start going forward?
Yeah, they do need to start going forward, obviously. Look, they're probably in a little more of a rebuild mode now, and what tells you that is they parted ways with Lou Lamoriello, because Lou... Right. The word rebuild was not in Lou Lamoriello's vocabulary. He believed every single season was too precious to give up on. You always played for now. I mean, you know, obviously Lou, you know, tried to get assets through the draft, but if there was a choice between, you know, getting a first-round pick 2 years down the line or getting a, you know, a veteran player for right now, Lou would, you know, opt for the latter because he always wanted to go for it. He always thought you get into the playoffs and any team has a chance. And look, Lou's track record shows you that. You know, who expected the 2012 Devils to make the Stanley Cup final, right? But no, so management or ownership finally decided that they needed a new vision here, and I think that tells you they know they got to sort of rebuild around the core of players they do have.
Andrew Gross joining us here on the Wester Hotline. You can follow him on Twitter at AGrossNewsday. By the way, a fellow drummer. I am a drummer as well, by the way. I'm reading that in your profile.
that's great. Do you play out?
I don't have a set like anymore in my life, but you know, it's like riding a bike, right? I mean, I've been playing since I was a very young boy, and whenever I go out, I'm at like events, I do functions, I go to charity events. If there's a band playing, a lot of times I'll sit in and play a little bit. You know what I mean?
You're doing better than me. I mean, I'll tell you, one of my favorite moments of last season was when we went to Los Angeles. The hotel I stayed at, which was near Crypto.com Arena, one of the perks of staying there was you got free tickets to the Grammy Museum, which I'd never been to. So I, So I went to the Grammy Museum, and on the second floor, which is, you know, if you've ever been there, that's sort of your entrance. That's the first place you go to. It's basically how to run a studio. And they had this beautiful electronic kit just sitting on a stage right in the middle of the floor at the Grammy Museum with a couple of drumsticks there. And it was like free play. You just could go and play it and listen to yourself. So my trip to the Grammy Museum was like literally playing the drums for about a half hour as, like, you know, these 5-year old kids were like, "Hey, old man, I want to turn." I was like, "Go scratch, I'm playing."
I love that. I love that. Hey, let's go across town and talk about the Rangers. A disappointing season for sure. They make a change at head coach. Mike Sullivan comes in. What's the feeling on the Rangers and where they are and where everything went wrong this year and where they go from here?
Well, obviously not covering the team day to day anymore.
Yeah.
As an outsider, and this is hearing it from reporters who did cover the team. This is, you know, using my own eyes. This is reading other people's reporting. It was very clear that the way Chris Drury ran that team this year irked the whole dressing room. And you could see it when they played. They weren't playing. They took whole games off. Whether Peter Laviolette's voice, you know, was not effective anymore, I don't think that was the major problem. I think they were still so ticked off about Barkley Goodrow and Jacob Trouba, and also leaking, you know, the letter, you know, saying Chris Kreider was out there available. I think the whole room was so ticked off that they just stopped playing for Drury, and then you peel it back further, and of course Laviolette goes and Drury gets the extension, and he winds up hiring the coach he wanted 4 years ago before hiring Gerard Gallant. So this is, you know, in another situation it might have been the GM going, but Dolan can be strange sometimes in his loyalty, right? He stayed loyal to Isaiah Thomas about, you know, 100 years past when everyone else thought it was crazy. So I think Drew has a lot of rebuilding, you know, he has a lot of work to do in rebuilding the trust between the management office and the dressing room. I do think he's got to clean out some players and sort of give Mike Sullivan a cleaner slate here. But it was surprising to me just because Drew, you know, I mean, you guys saw him up in Buffalo, you saw what a, you know, competitor he was and how he always, as a captain, he always defended his teammates. And Drew, you know, when I covered him as a player, he had a really good sense of what made a good room. And it was really surprising to see the tact he sort of took as a GM that, you know, sort of blew up that room. Now, new year, new coach, few new players. I think you can patch up some of those wounds. The Rangers seem to be on a every other year schedule here. So it would not surprise me. You still got Igor Shesterkin back there, and maybe Lafreniere, you know, stops celebrating the fact that, you know, he got this windfall and actually becomes a hockey player again, and, you know, he starts contributing again. It's going to be a very interesting offseason for them because I do think they're going to have to make some major moves and kind of reshuffle the chairs here. But Sully coming in, that's nothing but positive for the Rangers.
And I know you don't cover the Devils anymore, but again, from the outside looking in, another team, another a year where they were out in the first round. They've only made the playoffs twice in what the last, I think, 6-7 years, it looks like here. Where do you think they are right now? A lot of talent on that team. It just seems like they can't advance, really.
Yeah, well, if you have a healthy Hughes, maybe things are a little bit different. I still think that, you know, Jacob Markstrom was a better goalie than Frederik Andersen. It just didn't work out in that series. But, you know, I thought the same thing watching the Islanders lose twice in 5 games to the Hurricanes. I was like, you know, the Hurricanes goalies can be beat. They just weren't, you know? It was weird. I think the Devils are in a good place. If, you know, Jack Hughes is, you know, you don't like throwing the word superstar around, but he's really, you know, he's approaching that level. And he's a guy that could carry a team through a playoff run if healthy. They got some nice defensemen. I like all the work that Tommy Fitzgerald has done there. I think this will be a really good experience for the group, and, you know, I expect them to come back stronger next season.
Who do you like to come out of the East? Toronto with a big win last night, obviously, over Florida to start that series. We got Caps and Hurricanes, you know, obviously starting tonight.
Yeah. I do think the winner of the East will be the team that wins between the Maple Leafs and the Panthers. And we got to see, you know, how injured is Anthony Stolarz. You know, that was right. Sort of scary. He comes over to the bench and, you know, gets sick and, you know, pulled from a game. And you got to wonder about that hit to the head from Bennett and, you know, why it was
no
allowed.
No discipline, by the way. Yeah, no discipline, yeah. The league said today.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. You know, I was thinking about it today. It's like, you know, in some ways we haven't seen this kind of, you know, playoff run with a team that is just out and out, like, you know, almost, you know, just it's very Philadelphia Flyers Broad Street Bully like,
right.
You know.
Yes, I get it. Yeah,
and if you like that kind of hockey, well, the Florida Panthers are the team for you, right? So
yeah,
it's just, you know, not to use a slap shot reference, but it's old school hockey, right, Coach? You know?
Yeah, for so. Sure, for sure. I mean, if you go to, by the way, if you go to Andrew's Twitter feed, he's got a picture of him with the Hanson brothers right there in your profile and your banner. I love it. So I know you like it. You like the old school hockey.
Well, I mean, yeah. Who doesn't like the Hanson brothers?
Yeah.
That was the day the three of them came when I was covering the Devils. They were in the Devils room. And you know, you just as a sports writer, you're not trying to be a fanboy, but I just went over to him. I was like, guys, I must watch this movie like every 2 weeks, and you know,
yeah, for sure. And by the way, speaking of Twitter, when I typed in Andrew Gross to tell everybody, another one came. There's a kid who's a 6'4" offensive lineman, class of 2025. It says he's a commit to Morehead State, and his Twitter is, I am Andrew Gross. Are you related? Is that your son? Is that your nephew?
No relation. No, there's, you know what? I'm finding out, you know, because when you have the last name Gross, you're like, okay, you know, if nothing else, at least I'm a little unique, right? But I'm finding out there are a lot of Andrew Grosses out there. I know there's a one guy was watching a movie, and my wife, it drives her nuts, but I always, like, I read all the credits. I like reading the credits to movies to see who's involved. And there was, like, one movie, the composer was an Andrew Gross. I was like, oh, that's neat. And then there's an author who lived across the river from me in Westchester, and Andrew Gross, he did, you know, a very successful novelist. You know, New York Times bestseller, would co-write with James Patterson. This is the one, and you know, unfortunately, that Andrew Gross just passed away last week. He was 72, wow. But he was a very successful writer. And when my two daughters were little, they would just ride me incessantly. They said, you know, Dad, there is a guy with your name who is not only a more successful writer than you, but he's much better looking than you.
Oh, my gosh. See, yeah, that's what kids are for. There's no doubt about that for sure. Hey, this is great. You are a hockey historian. I love it. Lots of history between the Sabres and the Islanders. You brought up Mike Bossy earlier. Brings back painful memory of the fact I don't remember the draft, but the Sabres chose Rick Seeling, the pick before Mike Bossy in the 77 draft, right? I mean, they could have literally taken Mike Bossy. You have the LaFontaine deal. You have the Pekka deal. We can talk about that some other time. I'd love to have you back on again, buddy. Thank you so much for doing this today.
Hey, the playoffs go through June. I'm here all the time. Just it's great talking to you as well.
All right, thank you very much. That is Andrew Gross of Newsday. You can find him on Twitter at @AGrossNewsday. Check him out right there. Really good stuff, man. I love talking with people like that. Drummer, too. Fellow drummer. Didn't ask him who his favorite drummer is. We'll get to that next time. Neil Peart for me from Rush. Neil Peart. Well, we'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll just do a quick segment and then get to another break because Evan Lazar joins me at the top of the hour here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. All right, we have your ticket to 8 amazing golf experiences at the WGR VIP Golf Card. For just one low price of $129, unlock a season of golfing adventures, including Diamond Hawk, Shamrock Hills, Attica's 10th Hole and Golf Course, Bobolink, and Golf Dojo. Your WGR VIP Golf Card also hooks you up with a free box of premium Vero X1 golf balls from Encore Golf and score deals at Rick Zurek Golf Warehouse on Transit in Bowmansville. A portion of the proceeds will benefit PGA Hope. Get all the details and purchase your WGR VIP golf card today at GetMyPerks.com. We went long with Andrew Gross. Great stuff, though. Hockey. Love that. Love the hockey conversation with him. And we're going to go back to a timeout here. And then when we come back, we're going to have Evan Lazar on the Patriots, the Bruins, and the Celtics. A little check-in on the temperature of Boston sports right now on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
All right, rolling along here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you. It is Mother's Day this weekend. Get her the ultimate pass to relaxation, renewal, and pure self-care bliss for Mother's Day with our Odyssey Self-Care Passport. Enjoy 13 incredible experiences at select spas, gyms, and wellness centers valued at over $1,400. Over 70% savings, just $375. Visit GetMyPerks.com to get yours while supplies last. We had another terrific night of NHL playoffs, NBA playoffs. You had the comeback that fell a little bit short by the Florida Panthers against the Toronto Maple Leafs, so at least now lead that one 1-0. But the comeback that did not fall short by the New York Knicks over the Boston Celtics, surprisingly, the Knicks go to Boston. They lead that one 1-0. In the meantime, the Bruins, along with the Sabres, they're in the NHL draft lottery, but that winds up being the New York Islanders getting the number one overall pick. And we have the New England Patriots offseason, which has been very eventful, to talk about all of that with our next guest, Evan Lazar. Love having him on here, the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Evan, good morning to you. How are you recovering after that loss last night by the Celtics?
Well, I was at the game, Sal, so it was pretty tough one to swallow. Yeah, I mean, look, I like how, yeah, I'm sure it's the same way in Buffalo with the Bills. When you lose a game like that, it becomes a referendum on the entire program, right?
Yes.
You know, is their coaching good? Is their playing style good? You know, that's the two big questions right now. Missoula and the 3-point shooting is taking some heat here today, but I expect them to bounce back tomorrow night in game two. But it's funny how that always seems to be the way we go. It's very extreme. They're either, you know, queuing the duck boats, as we say around here, for the championship parade, or we're firing everybody.
I totally get it. I mean, this year, though, is kind of championship or bust for the Celtics, right? Even if they get to the finals, they lose, I think it would almost seem like a disappointment considering where they've been and the team they've built.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, they're defending champs for a reason. And I think you look at throughout the course of history, you have to take your opportunities when they come. And if they don't win it this year and they only end this run here with the team that they have with just the one title, it's not that anybody's going to be overly disappointed, but you clearly want to get more than one while you still have, you know, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown in this core together. So you got to take advantage of your opportunities. You got to win, while you have your team together and your core players are in their prime. So every year right now is championship or bust for the Celtics.
So what do they need to do better besides 3-point shooting? Anything? Or is it really just come down to that? Hey, you make your shots, you win the game. Because I'm watching the game last night. They also kind of got smothered a bit on defense. I applaud the Knicks for their defensive effort, some of the plays they made towards the stretch run there. But is it as simple as just make your 3-pointers going forward?
Well, you definitely, you know, there's a line of demarcation there with the Celtics in terms of, you know, when they make their threes, they win. When they don't, they lose. And I know that's an oversimplification of it, but that's definitely a piece of it. Now, I would say there's a philosophical debate that's going on in Boston right now about whether or not their three-point volume in particular, you know, shooting 63s in a game, there's two ways to look at it. One is they shot below their usual season average, so if they shoot their season average at that volume, then they probably blow the Knicks out, right? So that's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it is, when the threes aren't falling, do you have a plan B? Do you have an offhand? Do you have something else you can go to get your team across the finish line? But, you know, I'm a football guy, Sal, as you know, and I always compare it to the mindset in football of you pass to score and you run to win, right? So you pass to get the lead, and when you get the lead in the fourth quarter, that's when you start to pay attention to the clock and start running the football more. And the Celtics, sometimes they don't necessarily run to win. You know, they don't have that closer mentality, and they kind of just do what they do, and they jack up the threes, and if they don't fall in the fourth quarter, then they tend to be on the wrong side of some of those games. But I have no panic yet. I need to see the Knicks do that a couple more times before I start to worry about the series as a whole. But, you know, looking long term to a potential Eastern Conference Finals or Finals matchups, like, if they lose and they come up short, then this is probably going to be why.
What about the other matchup to get to the finals? Obviously, had another upset, the Pacers over the Cavs. The Cavs look like such a machine, but the Pacers did a great job on them. How are you viewing that series and the matchup?
Well, I believe that most Celtics fans understand how good of a team the Indiana Pacers are, because even though they swept them last year in the Eastern Conference Finals, all four of those games came down to the wire, and the Celtics really were lucky to sweep that series. If you go back and watch, especially game one, Jaylen Brown hits a three-pointer basically at the buzzer of regulation to send that game to overtime. You know, basically saves the game for the Celtics going back to last year. And I grew a lot of respect for the Indiana Pacers. They play with a ton of pace. They have a great offense. They can score at will against you, and they're a great, you know, ball movement team and pace team that really just plays at a speed that I don't think the Cavaliers were necessarily ready for in game one. So I expect Cleveland to adjust to it as they go here. But those games last year in the Eastern Conference Finals could have gone either way, just like the game won in Cleveland. So I'm not at all surprised that the Pacers are giving the Cavs a series and are going to be a tough out. So either way, I like the Celtics if they can get through this Knicks series. But I do think that, you know, there's reasons to like both those teams, especially Indiana. I have a lot of respect for that Pacers team. I think they got unlucky a little bit last year against the Celtics.
In the West, you already have 2, 3, and 5 out of it, right? You got a 6-7 matchup, a 1-4 matchup. The 4 beats the 1 last night. It's chaos in the West here, Evan. I mean, what do you think about what's happening out there?
Yeah, I saw Oklahoma City play the Celtics in the regular season here in Boston, and they controlled the game from start to finish and beat the Celtics in the Garden. And I looked at that Thunder team and I said, you know, that's the first time in probably 2 or 3 years where I felt like there might be a team that's better than the Celtics. Not that the Celtics have won every game. You know, they have their slip-ups and things like that. But a team that's truly just straight up better than Boston with Oklahoma City. So if you're a Celtics fan, you got to be looking at that Nuggets-Thunder series and hoping that Jokic knocks out the Thunder, right? I mean, I think it's a much better matchup for the Celtics if it comes to that. But at the end of the day, I really think Oklahoma City and Cleveland and Boston will bounce back and end up winning those series. But it's interesting to me to see the Thunder team kind of go through these growing pains, because the Celtics had the same thing. You know, 18, they're in the Eastern Conference Finals against LeBron James and Jason Tatum's rookie year. They lose in a Game 7, and they lost in the Finals to the Warriors. They lost in a Game 7 to Miami in the Eastern Conference Finals the following year. So it feels like in basketball you have to get knocked down and push the old boulder back up the mountain a couple of times before you actually get over the hump. And I feel like that's what Oklahoma City is going through right now.
Evan Lazar on the Western Hotline. You can follow him on Twitter at EZLazar. We'll get to the Patriots, obviously the team you report on. But I know you follow the Bruins closely, too. First time in 9 years they missed the playoffs. They're in the draft lottery with the Sabres last night. For the last few years, I've said, okay, Bruins are aging out. You know, they're not going to do it. And then all of a sudden they have these nice runs. That didn't happen this year. Where are they, and how much are the Fire Sweeney, is that crowd really waiting and wanting that to happen?
the Bruins are in a bad spot right now, Sal. I mean, I'm not gonna sugarcoat it. The Bruins are in a really bad spot organizationally. They had a very bad season. They sold basically all of their pieces that they could at the trade deadline. They trade guys that are really franchise pillars here, like Brad Marchand, but also, you know, players like Charlie Coyle and Brandon Carlo and guys that were on that leadership team, I would say, for their team. And they trade all these guys at the trade deadline. Probably an understandable move given where they were, but trading a guy like Marchand's going to be unpopular, no matter where they are in the standings. You know, when you trade a team captain and a guy whose number might be hanging up in the rafters eventually for the Bruins, it's going to be unpopular. So they did that. They fired a coach again, Jim Montgomery, mid-season. They fire a coach. And now Don Sweeney and Cam Neely and Charlie Jacobs, their owner, they had, I don't know if you saw it, Sal, but they had one of the weirdest press conferences I've ever witnessed in my life as their end of season press conference, where they basically took zero accountability for any of the issues that were up with the team and essentially went toe-to-toe with the media with some tough questions. Kudos to the Bruins media. And they were very defensive. They were sounded like a group in denial that doesn't think that they're that far away. They feel like they can retool here on the fly around Pastrnak and Swayman and McAvoy primarily, but they have a long way to go. You know, their center depth is not very good. I would expect that's where they'll go with the seventh overall pick. But they also need scoring. You know, Pastrnak is really the only guy that scores on the team besides Morgan Geekie. It's like those two guys were the only guys scoring all season long. So they need secondary scoring. They need center depth. Those are two pretty big things when it comes to hockey. So I really feel like, you know, there are ways away. And then on top of that, they don't have a coach right now. You know, so they're still in the interview process with hiring a new head coach. So the Bruins are a mess. They're kind of a mess right now.
I did not see this press conference, so I have to go back and watch this now. So now that you're, I love watching stuff
it
like
was
this
bizarre.
And seeing,
I mean,
what they say.
It was crazy. Like they kind of had their boilerplate, you know, PR statements at the beginning where they took some accountability and, you know, this is on us. We didn't do a good enough job. But then they were asked specific questions about, you know, coaching firings, where they've now fired Bruce Cassidy, who won the Stanley Cup with Vegas, and then Jim Montgomery, who got the Blues into the playoffs and got them to a game seven against the number one. So when you start pointing all of the coaching and these two guys, Cassidy and Montgomery, have gone elsewhere and had a lot of success, well, is it really the coaching or is it the roster? And the one guy still standing is the guy that's building the roster. So it just doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. And they've said that some of their coaching candidates are still in the playoffs. Some of the assistants on the teams, Misha Donskoy from the Stars is probably the number one name to know. They interviewed him the last time around and he was a finalist for the job. So it seems like one of their guys that they want to target, you know, Donskoy is the one that gets most of the publicity about it, is still in the playoffs, and they might move quickly once Dallas's season is over. But I mean, right now it's not a whole lot of depth in their whole organization. I mean, they don't really have very many prospects to get excited about either. So it's been tough sledding for them.
I just found it on YouTube, I think. This is the one with Charlie Jacobs, Cam Neely, and Don Sweeney, right? Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah.
All right. I'm gonna bookmark this. This is my listening when I'm bumping around the house and cleaning a little bit later. I'm gonna put on the headphones and listen to this on YouTube. Evan Lazar joining us. Yeah, thank you.
Poking, you know, right at them. It's great.
All right, thank you. I appreciate that. Evan Lazar here on the Western Hotline. All right, as much as fans may be a little bit really kind of disappointed in where the Bruins are going, it's got to be a different feeling about the Patriots after the last couple of years and seeing now what they're trying to build. I imagine the feeling is pretty good about the Patriots' trajectory this offseason.
It is. And, you hear some people. I saw Kay Adams on her show, who I love, by the way, you know, talking about the Patriots potentially making a push for the playoffs. And I think we're a little bit, you know, let's not put the cart before the horse with the Patriots making the playoffs. I'm excited about what they've done, but they still got to go out there as this iteration of the Patriots and win some games before we're going to start talking about wild card bursts and things like that. But they certainly have checked a lot of boxes this offseason. They feel like they've filled a lot of holes. We'll see if all the signings and draft picks pan out. But they were really what I would say the best word to describe their offseason was organized. You know, you could feel a vision from Mike Vrabel on down of a structure of how they exactly wanted to do things. You know, really more defense focused in free agency and then offense focused in the draft. But just in terms of the types of players they were targeting, both on and off the field, you know, character guys, guys that fit the scheme, guys that have history with the coaches here in New England now. It just seemed like there was a real clear vision, and the word that they always use as well is organization and being organized at the top. So from that respect, this is running a lot smoother this time around than when you talked to me a year ago.
What is the thought on Stephon Diggs and what his role is going to be with the New England Patriots after what you saw of him pre-injury and then, of course, recovering from the injury?
Right. So they're being pretty upfront about the fact that Stephon Diggs is probably not going to do much in the spring and summer. He's okay. Probably someone that's maybe a candidate to start the year on PUP, but he's trying to push to be ready sooner, of course. So we'll end up seeing what happens in August, I would say, in terms of his availability early in the season. But the one thing that I just noticed watching him in Houston, especially last year, is he's really evolved his game to being more of a first and second level guy than a true down the field, explosive play type of player like he was in his heyday in Buffalo and Minnesota. So I would say that they're looking at him, and we know with this Josh McDaniels offense that it's often death by a thousand paper cuts instead of, big play, big play, big play. You know, they kind of like to move the chains. And I would look at Stephon Diggs as the chain mover in this offense, the volume guy, the guy that's going to get the bulk of the targets, and the guy that's going to just, when it's third and seven, third and eight, that's where Drake May is going to look past the sticks will be the Stephon Diggs. So I believe that's where they're hoping he's going to fit in. Play a little bit of that slot role that we've seen here in New England in the past, have so much success in this offense and in this system. And then hopefully they'll get some of the bigger plays from Kyle Williams, their third round draft pick, or Travion Henderson, their second round draft pick, both guys that are explosive players with the ball in their hands and explosive skill players. So I think they're pretty excited about what they've done offensively. Obviously having McDaniels back is really huge for the team in general and for Drake May specifically. But with Diggs in particular, I see him as someone that they're really hoping is going to be sort of the chain mover and the engine of this offense.
Yeah, I think everybody recognizes Drake May is a really talented young quarterback, and if you can build around him, he's gonna be something to deal with for many years to come. But you also have to protect him. They did go out and make their first-round draft pick, as Will Campbell was their first pick in the NFL draft to go help protect him. How does that unit stack up trying to kind of go forward and making sure that they can protect their young quarterback?
Well, it's definitely better on paper than it was last year, but it would be hard to be much worse. Than when they put out there last year. They were 32nd in the league in pass block win rate, 31st in the league in run block win rate. They were pretty much the worst offensive line last year by every advanced metric that you can get your hands on. So they've improved that group. Will Campbell at left tackle, which should be an upgrade from what they had there last year. But I think a lot of the questions that people have is, okay, it's one thing to be an upgrade over Vidarian Lowe. That's not a very high bar. The question really is, can you be a great player at that position? If you're an average player, that's great. But when you take a guy fourth overall, you're hoping that he's going to be a Pro Bowl, All-Pro talent. Now, he has the talent to be that, but he does have the arm length deficiency that I'm sure you've heard all about, Sal, that we talked about here for like six straight months. So, he measured it at 32 5/8 at the combine, 33 inches at his pro day. So he doesn't have the prototypical length of a left tackle. And is he going to be able to work around those deficiencies? Everybody you talk to believes that he can with his athleticism and his balance and his play strength as well, and his toughness and his work ethic and all that good stuff that he brings to the table. It's basically like he checks every single box imaginable for a franchise left tackle besides the arm length. So if that's the one thing that he doesn't bring to the table, people are optimistic that he's going to be able to overcome that. But to what level? Is he going to be a top 10 left tackle in the NFL, or is he going to be an average left tackle in the NFL? you know, that remains to be seen. But between Will Campbell at left tackle, Morgan Moses at right tackle, bringing in the veteran there to hold down that position at least for 2025, and then some of the upgrades that they made on the interior, you know, Jared Wilson, their third-round pick, is a promising center prospect. Garrett Bradbury comes over from Minnesota to kind of be the bridge at that position with David Andrews moving on. So there's optimism on the offensive line for sure.
All right, let's go to the defensive side here. And how much of a change is it going into Mike Vrabel's, you know, system coming over from where he was at Tennessee a couple of years ago, obviously, to what they had? Because it seems like there's some different parts moving in and out. Obviously, Harold Landry comes to mind as one of those guys. But how much of a difference will the defense look, basically, aesthetically?
Yeah, I do think it's going to be different. They've talked a lot about being more aggressive, being a more vertical or up-the-field defense that plays on the other side of the line of scrimmage and tries to you know, put pressure on the quarterback and all those good things that you hear this time of year from coaches and new coaching staffs. But Bill Belichick, not that they didn't prioritize pressure because every defense does that, but they typically ran a two-gapping system under Bill. They were an odd front team, 3-4 defense for most of the time that he was here as the coach. And then as a disciple, Gerard Mayo basically ran that same system last year here in New England as well. So they've been more of a build a wall, hold the point of attack, you know, shed blocks into gaps and things like that as their two-gapping principles, where Vrabel, it seems like he wants to play faster and he wants to play more aggressive, get guys up the field. You know, Milton Williams is obviously their big splash free agent signing as a penetrating interior defensive lineman, kind of like an Ed Oliver type. So they feel like they are going to be more aggressive. They've gotten faster and smaller as a result, that linebacker. You know, they've moved on from like the Juwan Bentleys of the world that are those 250, 255-pound thumpers, and they feel like they want to fly around a little bit more. I think the back end will be relatively similar just because you have Christian Gonzalez and you're going to have him play man coverage and do what he does best and not, you know, put him in a place where he's playing you know, a role or a scheme that he's not going to succeed in as probably one of your best young players. So I expect him to still play a lot of man-to-man like they did under Belichick and Gerard Mayo. But up front, they're going to want to attack. That's really the words that we've heard: violence, aggressiveness, attack-minded defense.
Before I let you go, just an update on Christian Barmore, if there is one. Obviously, you know, tough situation there. Good, really good young player, obviously, who had the blood clot situation.
Yeah, well, the good news is he's been out there during this portion of the offseason. Obviously, there's no contact yet or anything like that, so we're just doing workouts. But he has been out there. He has been at the facility. It doesn't sound like there's been any real setbacks as of yet. But the scary part with him was that he came back last year for a period of time, and then they had to take him off the field again, you know, 6-7 games into his return, and the symptoms reoccurred, and they had to take him off the field again. So that's obviously not ideal. And, you know, I just mentioned Milton Williams. They have, you know, invested in some reinforcements there with Williams and Joshua Farmer, who they drafted early on day three, guys that could be Barmore insurance. But they're hoping, and their ideal defensive line is to have Williams, Barmore, and Keon White out there together a lot, you know, the bulk of the snaps, and let those guys, you know, try to get after it and go wreck the game. So their ceiling as a team hinges on a lot of those kind of coin flips of, is Barmore going to be available? Is he not going to be available? Is Drake May going to take that next step? Is he not going to take those next steps? Like, that's going to be what's going to decide whether or not, you know, talking playoffs is crazy or talking playoffs is realistic.
Always good to catch up, buddy. Thank you so much. We can talk Boston sports, obviously, a whole variety of them with you, which is why I love having you on, especially this time of year when there's so much going on. Evan Lazar, senior reporter, host the Patriots Catch 22, and of course, Patriots.com. Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your offseason, but I'm sure we'll talk again soon.
Sounds good, Sal. Anytime.
All right, buddy. Thank you. That is Evan Lazar. You can follow him on Twitter at EZLazar, E-Z-L-A-Z-A-R. Does a great job covering the Patriots and talking all Boston sports. So, yeah, we got to leave some space for our rivals in Boston, right? I just can't do it. I can't root for a Boston team. Sorry. I know there's a lot of like Red Sox fans in the area, and you hate the Yankees, and that's cool. I get it. You know, the evil empire. People say, how are you a Yankees fan? Such a big market, big team. I don't know. When you grow up in Buffalo, I get it. Like, you're a Red Sox fan. I don't hold that against people who are Red Sox fans, like, how do you root for a Boston team from Buffalo? Baseball is just kind of weird like that. You grow up, you have allegiances that go different ways for different reasons, right? But can't be a Bruins fan of Buffalo, can you? Can't be a, I guess you could be a Celtics fan, I guess. I mean, you know, there are ties from the Braves to the Celtics. Go look it up, actually, not just the Clippers and how all that deal went down and the transfer of the team and ownership and all that stuff. But, you know, I can't root for the Celtics. I can't root for the Bruins. That's, in all of sports, the Bruins might still be my number one kind of hated rival growing up in sports because of the me growing up in the 80s with the Sabres and Bruins. We talked a lot of hockey today. We've had Andrew Gross on from Newsday. The Islanders get the number one overall pick. We just had Evan Lazar on talking about the Bruins, but also Celtics and Patriots. And as always, you can catch all of our interviews on demand at WGR550.com. All right, we'll take a timeout here. When we come back, we got to touch on the Bills because it's a big week for all of the youngsters to come to town. Rookie minicamp is this week. I'll kind of set you up for a primer on that when we return here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab.
We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store, like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Okay, we got rookie minicamp coming up this week. Coverage of Bill's rookie minicamp on WGR is presented by Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys, and brought to you in part by Window Nation, the perfect fit for your home and wallet. Can't wait for rookie minicamp on Friday to go see some of these rookies for the first time. It's going to be good weather, I think, on Friday out at the stadium. Also, Join us for Par for a Purpose on May 19th and play in a foursome at Double Black Diamond Golf Course. A majority of the proceeds will benefit the 11-day Power Play. Registration includes a lunch, dinner, two drink tickets, greens fees, cart, and prizes. Visit WGR550-events.com to register right now. It is courtesy of Ellicottville Chamber and Commerce and Labatt. And we are going to be out there playing down in Ellicottville, me and Jeremy. I don't know who's on our team exactly, the WGR team. I think it's me and Jeremy. Jeremy and I should say. So, I don't exactly know who's on the team. So maybe it's you. Who knows? Maybe somebody out there is listening. They're going to be a part of it. Rookie minicamp this week. So the Bills will be on the field for rookie minicamp this week. I don't have the exact time yet. I'm guessing right around 12:30 or so is when the practice will start. We'll hear from rookies before or after that. Typically, you know, sometimes we'll hear from Sean McDermott. Sometimes we won't, but we'll have all your coverage this week as far as rookie minicamp is concerned. And, you know, I say it all the time when people tell me about rookies and these expectations. Certainly that you can have a rookie make this team, make an impact on this team. We'd all love to see it. It's hard. It's hard for a rookie to do that on a team that has as good of a roster as the Bills. When people tell me often believe that the Bills just have this overarching philosophy that they don't play younger players, it's not true. They do. Christian Benford started his his rookie year as a sixth round pick. Osiris Torrance started his rookie year every single game. That can happen. Keon Coleman took him a little while. He started playing a lot more. Sometimes it doesn't work out like that. A lot of times just because guys are blocking you. Guys are in front of you. It's tough. It's tough to make the roster for the later round picks, and then it's tough to actually play whether you're an early or a late round pick. I do think this year is a little bit different for the earlier round picks, meaning Max Harrison specifically. I mean, even though the Bills went out and signed Tre'Davious White and Dane Jackson, I think Max Harrison has, if I was with the odds right now on who would start opposite Christian Benford, ooh, let's do that. Maybe we should play a game here, Josh. Maybe we should tweet out or something. Like, what are the odds? What odds would you give? If I gave you, I don't know, how do you want to do this? Like, stock, right? We do stock. 100 stock pieces of stock. Who would you put your stock on to start opposite Christian Benford? Is it over 50 of those pieces on Max Harrison, do you think, Josh? Would you put it there? Tre'Davious White, Dane Jackson?
For me, I would put over 50 on Harrison. I just think that, like, the energy and the just everything around him just feels like that would be a great fit for this defense right now. And yes, Trey White would be, you know, fun and the nostalgia and everything, but I just really think that he's like your perfect number two option at this stage. So get Hairston in there right away, see what he's got, and see what he can do. And, you know, like I said, you'll have Jackson and White to back him up. So I think it's kind of like a really nice build they have there with those cornerbacks. Not to mention the other guys they drafted in the later rounds, too.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. I think Jordan Hancock is going to make this team in some capacity. It's Dorian Strong, I guess. You know, it's tough to cut fifth, sixth round picks, but, you know, you kind of have to if you're that kind of full where they are. It is possible. It is possible because of the young guys in the infusion they signed. It is possible that Tre'Davious White and Dane Jackson are kind of fighting for a spot. I say that because they're the veterans. If you cut them, one of them, they don't have to go through waivers. If you cut Jordan Hancock, he's got to go through waivers. Anybody can claim him. You don't want to lose him. You drafted him as a backup safety and nickel. He's making the team, right? I don't know if you want to cut Dorian Strong. You can cut Daquan Hardy again. He's there. He's going to fight for a spot. He's a year in the system. You know, guy, people forget, right? I think it's easy to forget that Daquan Hardy and Tecori Couch, like, they're on this team, and they have been for a year. And you got to give guys like that a little bit of a chance. Now, they can get overdrafted, overplayed by somebody, no doubt about it, because, all right, they're really, you're here, they're not as good as these other guys, you're going to keep putting more guys and younger guys ahead of them. I understand. But just look at the way that the Bills operate. Look at the way they build their roster. Look at their philosophies. They bring guys in, they develop them, and then those guys play. I think Cam Lewis and Jamarcus Ingram are two perfect examples of this. By the way, thank you. Our boss, Alan Davis, tells me it is Jeremy, Jody Biasi, Nate Geary, and me, the foursome for Par for a Purpose on May 19th. And you can join us and be a part of it and hang out with us. That will be cool. We'll have lunch together and drinks together and hang out together. We'll see each other on the golf course. Okay, this is the other thing. All right, now I just said this thing about the Bills. Now I'm in this mode of who should I want to ride in a cart with, Josh, out of this group? Should it be Jeremy and me, Joe and me, or Nate and me? Like, what am I, who should I want to be in my cart with me on this foursome?
Well, there's different, I mean, you could look at different ways of pairing people up here. I mean, Jeremy and Joe, obviously, yes, they do their show together. But if you and Joe ride together, like, you're reuniting the Extra Point show, which would be kind of fun.
We could also do age, right? Jeremy and I are the older guys.
Old versus
with
young.
The younger guys, Nate and Joe.
That one, I think, might be the most fun.
Right? Yeah, that might be.
There's a lot of ways you can mix and match that, though. I think it'd be interesting to see who comes out on top when you put different pairs together.
And I know Jeremy. Jeremy, look, let me tell you something. I've golfed with Jeremy many times. He is going to want to play some sort of convoluted game between the four of us. That's what he does. He's like, we got to play this game and that game. Games that have names and animals and all these kinds of things that I have no idea what the hell he's talking about. And I'm like, all right, whatever you want to play, I'm here. Just keep track of my score. That's what I do.
Yeah,
because he does that. It's cool. I'm not complaining. It's fun. But as long as he's keeping track, I'm down. Let's go. You want to do it? That's fine. Just tell me what I need to do. As long as you're keeping track of this score and this game that we're playing, you can do it. And all these games have all these animal names, basically, it seems like.
Well, he introduced me to the game 13 like a week ago now. And that
was
a
number
fun
game.
That was where you take 13 holes of golf from your score and you X out five of them, but you can't exit out whenever you want. You have to exit out right at the end of the hole, or you have to keep it. So you don't know until you get to the next hole, like, what your score is.
Way
looking like.
Too confusing for me. That what? Is way
no,
worse than the NHL
easy.
Draft lottery. I do not want this. And if you look at, no, again, I'll go back to what I just said. Totally fine. He wants to play this game. You keep track of the score.
That is true. He did.
It
keep
sounds
track of
like
the
it's
score
confusing. it sounds confusing to me.
I didn't have to keep track of the score. He just said, do you want to keep that score or not? And I was like, I guess I will. I guess I won't. You know, like, that was it. Like, it was just that simple for me.
Wait a minute. So what? Wait. You get only how many? You get five scores you don't keep? Is that what it is?
Yeah. So, like, let's say on hole one, you hit a bogey and you're like, oh, that was a bad start, but I'll take it. And then on hole two, you hit a birdie. Like, then, like, oh, okay, cool. Like, that, now I'm even for two holes. And then hole three is terrible and you have a triple. So you're like, okay, I'm going to X that out. Then you're still even because the X becomes a par. So you're kind of Xing out the bad scores as you go along, but you don't know how you're going to do as you keep going. So the strategy in it is, one, you have to try to, like, think of how you play. And two, if you get to hole 13 and you haven't used the five X's, the rest
this
of your holes are X'd out.
This is already too confusing for me.
What do you mean?
I don't want to think. I just want to go hit the damn ball, dude.
No, that is true. That is true. It does get into your head a little bit as you get closer to the end. Because, like, if you're on, like, let's say you're on hole 15 and you have two X's left. If you don't use one of them on hole 15, then the last two scores are just going to be even. And if you think you could shoot under par on those last two holes, then maybe you want to use your X on 15. But there's a lot of strategy involved, and I might be missing a few parts and pieces here, but he was telling us all about all the strategy and everything into it. And it was fun, but, you know, it gets a little in the weeds in terms of writing down the scores. That's why he took care of that.
And I thought I confused myself when I wanted to do the Fibonacci sequence when it came to the NCAA scoring on the brackets.
See, that
we did the Fibonacci
where you lose
sequence,
me.
By the way.
I don't understand. All
right.
That
see, I'd rather, you know what, instead, I would rather do an NFL mock schedule and figure it out and try to put the pieces of the puzzle together than keep the score of what you just told me. So you know what, if I'm going to do this on Monday the 19th in Ellicottville at Double Diamond, Black Diamond Course, if we're going to do this, par for a course, come on, go sign up, register, be a part of it. If you want to see something funny, you be a part of this and watch Jeremy keep all these scores of all these games that he's going to play and me going, Yeah, you just do that. You write that down over there, pal. I'm just going to hit the ball. So that's what we're going to do. I think I might tweet out here about the stock prices for corner. Let's see where people are on this, because I think it's fascinating, like, what's going to happen at the outside corner number two spot. Because I would say it this way too. Whoever starts week one doesn't have to be the same guy who starts week 5 or 6 or 17, right? It could be somebody different. Maybe Max Harrison winds up starting, but not right away. Rookie minicamp on Friday for the Buffalo Bills. We have coverage for you all week long, WGR550.com at Sal Sports. We'll take a timeout here. We'll come back, wrap up your Tuesday here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Josh, did you see this announcement this morning that came over? Notre Dame and Clemson, historic partnership, they're calling it, for a football series.
Oh, really? What are they?
Let me read it to you, okay? Notre Dame versus Clemson. This is from Notre Dame Football. Their account says, two storied programs with national success and a history of memorable matchups. Notre Dame and Clemson have agreed to a 12-game home-and-home contract to meet on the gridiron each season between 2027 and 2038. How about that? They're going to meet for 12 straight years. Notre Dame already plays like a lot of the ACC schools, obviously, but now they're going to play Clemson here. And, you know, with the way that conferences are, and we all know the Notre Dame and their different kind of schedule, that's fine. Okay, national success, get it. History of memorable matchups, it says. They've played 7 times ever.
Ever? And now they're going to play 12 more in a row?
Yes. They did play in the ACC championship game in 2020, and Clemson beat them 34-10. And in fact, here are the scores of these games that they played over their time. The last time they played, Notre Dame, 3 years ago, won 35-14. Clemson won before that 34-10. There was a 47-40 game in 2020 before that game, that same regular season. In 2018, Cotton Bowl, Clemson 30, Notre Dame 3. They did have a 2-point game in 2015, and they have to go all the way back to the 70s before they played them. I would not call it a history of memorable matchups, to be quite honest with you.
Memorable for one side, maybe, because of the high scoring and the big victory, but...
Yeah. I mean, I guess, unless I'm missing one here, this was written in 2023, I believe. So hold on, let me see if they... I'm probably missing one where they actually played recently, and somebody's like, Sal, they just played this year. Okay, yes, you're right. They probably did. 2023. Now, here's one from 2023. Clemson won 31-23. I don't know. History of memorable matchups. Okay. It's cool. They're going to play, and we need more of these kinds of, you know, cool matchups every year, and we're getting more of them in college football, but I just think it's funny they wrote that like that. So Notre Dame and Clemson are going to play every year for 12 straight years, beginning in 2027. Home and home, by the way. So what that means is obviously one game at Notre Dame, one game at Clemson. Maybe they'll source one out like Syracuse does with Notre Dame sometimes. I think they're done doing that, thankfully. So that was they played that game at the Meadowlands a couple of times. All right, we are going to wrap things up here. And then as the week goes on, we'll have more on Rookie Minicamp. I have tweeted out on the WGR Extra Point Show Twitter account, which is at Extra Point WGR. If you had 100 shares of stock of equal value and had to place them on who will be the starting cornerback opposite Christian Benford week one for the Bills, how much are you putting on each of these players? Max Harrison, Tre'Davious White, Dane Jackson, Jamarcus Ingram, and other. Check it out. I retweeted it at Sal Sports. You can chime in on that. In the meantime, Sabres Live up next. They'll talk about the NHL draft lottery last night, I'm sure. One Bills Live after that. And show up with the Bulldog, come your way at 3 p.m. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday here on WGR.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.